I know it sounds scary, but test it, make the horse talk and make the rider feel, and oh man, there's so much to gain there.
Hi everyone, and thanks for joining me here at SattelPro, the podcast dedicated to equine professionals and saddle experts. I'm Dr. Maren Bohleber, your saddle scientist. Do you ever find yourself working with a horse and sensing that the saddle is part of a problem, yet you can't quite put your finger on why or how to fix it? If that sounds familiar, you're in the right place. In this podcast, we dive into evidence-based insights, analyze real cases, and talk to leading experts from science and the industry. It's all about bringing research straight into your daily practice, giving you the clarity and confidence you need. Let's get started. Hi, and welcome to a new episode of SattelPro. And you already hear it, it's a little bit different today because I speak in English. The reason for that is I have a very special guest today, Jolanda van der Leden. She's from the Netherlands. And well, because my Dutch isn't really existent, we decided to speak in English. And Jolanda is a saddle expert and a saddle fitter. And she's the inventor of a very interesting and promising product called TreeClix. This is a device which we will talk about in a moment in detail, which enables us saddle fitters to adjust saddles which are not adjustable. So, Jolanda, I'm very happy that you are joining me today in this episode.
Yes, thank you so much for inviting me. And you were talking about your Dutch not being good enough to do the talk, but I think the biggest problem is that my German is not sufficient to do this entire podcast.
So, I'm sure you speak more German than I do Dutch, because we don't get into that detail.
No, that would take too long, probably.
Yeah, no. So I'm very happy that you're here. And for all the listeners out there and the audience, maybe you want to introduce yourself a little bit. How did you get into saddle fitting? So,
Okay. Well, without wanting to make this story way too long, started with a pony in the farm that was bought by my dad. So not too much to say about that, but my love for animals and especially horses was founded there. Ever since, I've been riding and teaching and doing all kinds of job, looking for things that could really grab my attention or where I could find my fire, so to say. Mm-hmm. And in the end, I was looking for something besides my regular job to do some handcraft. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to be a saddle repair or a sattler.
Yeah.
And I was looking for a course in that, but that was mandatory to do saddle fitting first. Mm-hmm. I had already been riding and grooming as a job, but always, and I think many listeners can feel into that, my dad told me never to go into the horses.
Of course, because get a real job.
Get a real job, exactly. So that was still my goal. And then I started doing the saddle fitting course and I hated it.
Oh, okay.
Because I did not understand what they were talking about. Because if a horse was naughty or not doing what you asked, you just had to ride him better. Mm-hmm. So that is what I was raised up to. Mm-hmm. And everybody was like, oh yeah, I see different, or yeah, I feel something. Mm-hmm. And I felt nothing and I saw nothing, I thought. But it took me like a year in saddle fitting school just before the exams that it really clicked. Mm-hmm. And then I really got interested in, oh my, it does make a lot of difference. But it's, mm-hmm. I think it was also because during saddle fitting school, I didn't get many answers. It was just more like a sense of feeling you should have. And I could not really work with that. Mm-hmm. But then, okay, I did the exams. I aced it, which I didn't expect. Mm-hmm. And then I started to do the repair course as well. And that has been 15 years ago.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And as you, it's too obvious, but I could not let go. And I got really found my fire in that. And I think it's so interesting.
Great.
So after that, I started working as a saddle fitter and saddle repair full time after 1 year of doing it besides my regular job. And after a few years, I went to the Society of Master Saddlers as well to go and do my qualified saddle fitter. And now I'm also a master saddle fitter by the SMS.
Excellent. So. Yeah. And this already reflect your intention of, I really liked your sentence you said in the first course, you get a sense or a feeling of how this works, but maybe not really kind of a structured way or an evidence-based way. And I really see how the way you're learning it kind of differs here, that you're getting more into the material and into the topic by trying as much as possible to learn about saddle fitting.
Yes, and I think it's so important to understand. And I did not understand what the horse would react to, because he reacts to the saddle, but to what part of the saddle? Does he react to the flock or to the shape or to the tree or the tree? I can go on and on and on, but if I can't pinpoint where the problem is, how can I think of a solution? And this is what has been my longest journey ever in my life, because I'm doing this for 15 years now, and I think I'm only really getting it since the last 3 years.
But I think, well, really getting it, when you don't know about the topic, or if you're an horse owner and you have your saddle fitter on in the stable and fitting the saddle, but if you are not so much into the detailed procedure of fitting, but also all the knowledge around it, it's sometimes hard to believe that it is such a complex topic, right? I mean, we do have three different components. We have the horse, we have the rider, and we have the saddle in between. And two components are constantly moving, not in the same direction.
Cannot control those as well, huh?
Right. You have different technical skills, or the horse can be completely different from one appointment to the other, the rider as well, and also the saddle, of course, too. So it's a very complex topic, which already in a static evaluation is very sophisticated, I would say. But then everything is moving yet. So
that is so important what you say there, because as a saddle fitter, we can only check saddle fit with a horse in standstill.
And for the first moment, yes.
And of course, after that, you can check it when being ridden. Of course, that's a mandatory part of saddle fitting. But still, then you can't feel it. You can only observe and interpret what's happening. And that's the difficulty, because I feel and I felt and I always will feel so responsible for the well-being of the horse.
Yeah.
And my influence in that, and I think that is something that has kept me awake quite a bit in the first few years of saddle fitting, because even with the best intentions, because my intentions have always been true, I really want to do well for the horse. That's really my first love in life, I think. But not exactly knowing what I was doing, and I didn't neglect getting knowledge, but there just was not more knowledge available at that point. So I did the best I could. But then I have to tell my customer, it's all right like this. Mm-hmm. He can work pain-free like this. Mm-hmm. But am I sure? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Am I sure to leave like this and to maybe see him in the next year?
Yeah.
With all the consequences. I thought Absolutely. That was that scary.
I think this is something which 100% reflects the maybe the struggle of a lot of saddle fitters out there, I can imagine. I mean, including myself, there are sometimes kind of situations where I really need to explain a lot and also do compromises with a horse and the rider, because, for example, the saddle is fitted fitting, not 100%, but maybe only 80% due to different circumstances. The horse is in maybe in a shape not very well trained or very thin due to whatever reasons. And then I think it's a very important responsibility we also have as a saddle fitter to explain it to the customer about the, well, risks or also just the situation. If we have the saddle here, which we fitted the best we can at this special moment, we really need to be so attentive about the future and not only a year from now on, but maybe also a month from here now, from here on, to recognize changes in the horse's body, like
I think that's really difficult, because we need to communicate to our customers and make them aware of everything that might come next,
yes,
and what to be attentive of, but also without them being scared,
yes,
or and without losing confidence in riding,
yes,
because as soon as the rider loses its confidence in riding or in the saddle or in the horse, it cannot do what it's supposed to do, and then bad things will happen, or bad things, then the horse will start compensating, then the horse will not be as free as he should be. So it's, I think the responsibility as a saddle fitter is not only in making the saddle fit, but also making a forecast, also communicating with the customer in a way
in
that
a nice
they understand,
way.
In a nice way, that they don't feel like you've been A, rushing, B, neglecting, C, missing anything, but also talking to them and making them aware of everything that might come in order to prevent us from hurting the horse or going further without paying attention to the horse. So yes, that is
absolutely. No, I think this this pinpoints it very well. And from my understanding, trust is here the key. So if you gain the trust of the customer, and not by just saying what they want to hear, but by explaining the backgrounds, maybe the scientific backgrounds of the saddle fitting or of the horse, of the anatomy, and take them on your journey, what you're doing, just take them with you and explain it to them, and maybe also show them the differences before and after the fitting. Look, here I've done a video. You can see the changes yourself. And here it is not 100% yet, but this is not due to the saddle fitting, but this is maybe due to an imbalance on asymmetry of your horse's gait, for example. But
And I think with that, it's so important to also do a good analysis before you start.
Yes.
So you can already pinpoint if there is any crookedness in the rider or any asymmetry in the horse, any offness in gaits or in behavior, that we can already draw the picture. And then if we drag the saddle into it, you can pinpoint, okay, this might be the cause of that. That has nothing to do with that, but that you're, this is exactly what I was missing in the course. Like I really had to make this path my own. How was that with you? Because you've done so many things. How did you, did you get a proper protocol when you were educated, or?
Well, my first education was with Schlese, Saddle Fit for Life. And this was the, well, at least in the, well, German, respectively, the Canadian side, the only education where they also included the anatomy of the horse, which I found was very important. My background, I'm a biologist, I'm a neurobiologist, so physiology and anatomy is just my basement.
I would say your heart.
Plus being a physiotherapist and osteopath for horses, I know how important the anatomy and biomechanics of the horses also for riding is. And therefore, you cannot really separate the anatomy from the saddle. It's always, it needs to be included. And,
oh, but it's just so funny what you say now, because in our course, we got anatomy of the horse extensively. So it was really, really like, these are, this is the skeleton, this is the muscles, the ligaments, everything. Okay, very nice. But we did not get the anatomy of the saddle.
Yes.
So and in my opinion,
and I think the link between the saddle and the horse anatomy and the saddle specific anatomy for the horse. So it's, of course, you can learn a lot about muscles and, you know, origins and attachments and from yes. tail to head. But the head is not, well, of course, it's somehow
important. It is connected.
It is connected. Everything is connected, of course. But in the beginning of your education, you need to focus on how does the saddle influence the anatomy and yes. vice versa, right?
And yes, and this is exactly so. I know we're getting to this topic later, but I need to say this because it was really a revelation to myself, because I always felt like I had all the pieces of the puzzle, but I didn't know what the puzzle should look like. You know that feeling? Mm-hmm, you had so many pieces, but how should you put them together?
Yes.
And then by working with Three Clicks, it made me aware of so many things, the entire journey up to here. And in the end, I was like, okay, I think I've got the total picture now. I want to share it. And I didn't have any good excuses how to. But with Three Clicks, it gave me... it gave me this opportunity, and this is why we've put together the Three Clicks Specialist Program. It is for people, for saddle fitters that are working in the field and want to know more about working with our system. Mm-hmm. But it starts off with, this is a horse.
Yeah.
And this is a skeleton.
Yeah.
And these are the attaching muscles. And this is the tree of a saddle.
Yeah.
What does it look like? Why is it shaped like this? So we really start off with that. And the funny thing is, I think that the people, the attendants, the attendees of the course, they are most enthusiastic, most positive about the structure of our program. Mm-hmm. I don't want to call it a course because I've always said I'm not going to start an education or a course.
Yeah.
But I did feel I really wanted to share this A, B, C, D, E structure.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was the biggest compliment that I got from colleagues that are in the field already for a decade plus, that said, oh, that was such a revelation. Thank you.
Nice.
And I was like, oh, good.
Yeah.
I'm the only one missing that.
There was my objective. Yeah, nice.
That was my objective.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, so that nice. Really was what threw me off out of saddle fitting in the first place. So
Yeah. And what I always struggle with the former educations I did so far with saddle fitting, of course, it is very important to learn about the kind of the anatomy of the saddle, like the how everything is built together and how it looks like, how differences there are on the market, plus also the anatomy. But for me, it was especially in the beginning of my practical work, very hard to translate into the practical world. I knew, as you said, and therefore I 100% feel your sentence before, you have all the puzzle pieces of, okay, I know the anatomy here and I know how the saddle should look like. And I know, for example, rocking is not good, bridging is not good, and I can feel that. But then there are all the little things, you know?
Yes, and all the extra questions. This is also what in the beginning, I hated this, and now I've embraced it and I love it.
Mm-hmm.
But with everything I see, I have more questions than answers.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That really was so difficult, so hard in the beginning. So everybody that's listening and has this feeling, there is hope. Yeah. And there are answers to the questions, but the answers are always individual.
Yes.
So they are per horse, per saddle, per combination,
yes.
they differ. So there is not an A plus B is C. Mm-hmm. There is an A. But what is there to A? Where does A come from?
Yeah.
So when I started to think about the relation between a tree and the skeleton of a horse and the way the horse is built, then, okay, so we want to free those areas of pressure. Why? Why do we need to load those pressure? Those areas?
Yeah.
Why are they suited? So that made us really come... So in the beginning, I was struggling with those questions. And mm-hmm. I know I have a few colleagues that be in touch if there is a difficulty or a problem, just to have somebody to talk to and to discuss it.
Mm-hmm.
And I have one of them, he always says, oh, you always give me more questions than answers.
Yeah, that's
but
good.
But I think that's where the solution is.
Yeah, absolutely.
In the right questions. So
absolutely.
Plus, started to embrace it.
Yeah. No, I love that. Especially... as you said, the more you get into the real world, the practical world, the more individual questions or topics arise,
yes.
right? So, and as soon as you have a large background for yourself to solve these little questions, because sometimes it's not A plus B equals C, but maybe it's A plus C equals D. You know what I mean? So there are components which you already know, and then there are new ones which you need to include. But having your background, and here I speak, for example, for myself, if you have the scientific knowledge of so many different studies, some are better than others, and some are newer or refer to this special topic more precisely than others, but still the knowledge behind everything, plus the experience, the practical experience, just make the picture complete in the end.
Yes, and also with research, it's so important to be mindful and to be aware what is really the subjective, what is really, really tested, and what are other options that have been left out.
Yes.
Because I love research and I love to read into it, but there's always gaps.
Absolutely.
There's always more questions.
Yeah.
And the only thing I would really say is stay curious.
Yeah.
If you need to want to know more.
Yeah.
And it's the easiest way is to make assumptions or to go to the quick answer, but there's always an answer, but then with components B, C, and D that are maybe doubtful.
Yeah.
And how, so every time zoom out, but this is the only reason that I'm still really interested in this in this field of working, because it is so interesting and it is so challenging.
Yeah. And it never ends, right?
No,
the questions never end.
I mean,
it is. I mean, my favorite answer to the question of a certain problem or a certain question I get from customers or even online, I usually say it depends.
Because
you cannot just say and categorize it into a drawer or something.
It's, but everybody, you and me included, want a quick, solid answer.
Of course, quick fixes.
We would all like it. And especially
it be
our customers.
Beautiful, yeah.
And I think this might just be the trigger why, in my humble opinion, I think most of the best saddle fitters are not well known as the best saddle fitters.
Mm-hmm.
Because the best saddle fitters don't provide you with the quick answer.
Yeah.
Don't come up with the easiest solution always. They will not. They will not promise golden mountain sunshine and exclude
Absolutely.
Rainy days. The true, the most genuine or the best saddle fitters, they will tell you it depends on how you're going to train your horse, what's going to happen. Exactly.
Yeah. But I'm confident that a lot of customers, I think the market is kind of changing right now, or maybe it's just the bubble I'm in, I'm not sure. But I have the impression that a lot of customers really wants this deepness and this way of thinking and explaining and describing the things.
Whether it's just in your bubble or it's the entire work field, I think it's more your bubble, but please focus on your bubble.
Yes.
Because that's the only thing where you can make a change.
Yeah,
I've also stopped wanting to change the entire world because I felt like Pinky and the Brain, but then all combined in myself.
And, in the 80s?
I don't know, but we're going to take over the world. But not to conquer the world, but to more like, we really need to make this change. And if I can just make people understand this, then they will know. But some people just don't want to know, and it's fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
As long as people feel good about what they're doing and feel like they're doing the best for their horse. And if I were to intrude that would not be helpful because it will make them insecure and stuff
Absolutely.
Like that. So I think everybody finds the fitter they belong to or they like to work with. They fit to. But I also, but I will not stop sharing knowledge because I think that in the end, every saddle fitter and every horse owner, rider, wants nothing but the best for the horse.
Yeah.
I think that should be the conclusion there anyways.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, well, Yolanda, before we started the recording, we said we need to stay focused and structured. So, Let's try, at least. Mm-hmm. Before our time is over, at least I would like to talk a little bit about...
I warned you.
I know. No, but this is what...
Anyway.
This is why I have invited you. It's such a pleasure to talk to you about all the fields of saddle fitting. Now, let's talk a little bit about your team's product, TreeClick. So I teased it on as a product which... is able to adjust saddles which are not adjustable. Can take
that. Well, it's funny because it's really, now it's really something that makes me so happy, but I started TreeClick out of frustration because, as I told you, I've been a rider as a profession. And the only goal that I had with my horses was to change them for the better. Mm-hmm. And I think that is the goal of most riders, to make your horse healthy, fit, grow muscles, be the beauty with the shiny fur and etc. And then, so I embraced saddle fitting. I started to understand, and then I was out. Okay, I want a different saddle, sold a new saddle, fine. Went back there, and then the saddle wouldn't fit. Mm. And I, apart from the part that I was not really sure what the cause was, I understood that if I made a template, mm-hmm. And it was different from the last time that the horse had changed, that mm-hmm. I should be able to change the saddle. Mm-hmm. And I had a few saddles with changeable gullet bars, mm-hmm. and then it was a bit easier with their own downsides though. But I was really in love with the saddles that I had on wooden trees, mm-hmm. and I could, the manufacturer told me you can press them once, mm-hmm. Up to 2 centimeters.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So then I did that. Okay. Saved the day. I pressed them inwards, mm-hmm. but then within a few weeks, the customer would ring me again because a problem reoccurred. And then I went back and I was like, it widened again. And if I had to widen it, okay. But next time I had to narrow it, then I was out of options. So I started to be nervous. Mm-hmm. I started to be an anxious saddle fitter even because I really was like praying if I was going to see
the horse.
Then it did not change. How crazy is that?
Yeah, I know.
So my goal was different from the goal of the rider. And that just didn't match. And I was like, okay, we should be able to do this differently. So I went on an investigation. And and of course, I was taught in the Society of Master Saddlers that we were able to build up 3 points using felt or leather, mm-hmm. or even shims.
Mm-hmm. I've seen it once with wood as well. Yeah.
What did you say? Sorry.
I've seen it once made by wood.
So
little wood things.
Yeah.
Not sure if this is really
If you were to make a wood thing, then you're a good craftsman or woman anyways. Well. But I did it on site using felt and leather because you can just make it to fit on site. But it also, it worked, but it was also a bit difficult because you have to make it perfectly symmetrical, of course, left to right. Mm-hmm. And it was just very time consuming. And then I had done it and I made the horse move with it. And then the horse didn't like it. Mm. And then what? Do I need to make it bigger or narrower? I just was clueless. So I felt like I was really struggling. And I know that I hear a lot of colleagues always like, oh, sometimes you just feel like giving up. Well, I really felt like giving up. Mm. But then you know what it is like when you're desperate and then you have this epiphany. And I was like, oh, I know somebody who is in product engineering. Mm-hmm. So I will contact her. And she was in saddle fitting school with me.
Oh, nice.
So, yes.
Good coincidence.
So, yes, it was a bliss. So I did not have any details of her because it was already like 7 years ago that we did the course. So, you know, you go on Facebook, message her, writing her a little message like, oh, I have this idea and it could really be life-changing for me as a saddle fitter. I really wanted this for myself, not to make it for others. Not that I didn't want it for others, but I was just like self-obtained at that point. And she was really on fire straight away. I told her the idea and she said, yes, that could work. And she was great. She started designing and we started testing. And in the beginning, just started with 3D prints.
Yeah, maybe just for all the listeners who are not familiar with your system, just sorry to break in here, maybe in just one, two sentences, what is TreeClicks? How does it look like?
Okay, so if there's an
imagination behind the product.
Yeah, so if you have the tree, the base of the saddle, mm-hmm. you really have to see it as a separate part of the saddle, so not the panels included. The panels are like flocked. Mm-hmm. That's the soft part of the saddle. But the rigid part, the hard part of the saddle, is what divides the weight of the rider over a large possible area mm-hmm. on the horse's back. And then you have 3 points in front. Those are extended parts of the tree, because that's where we have the withers. Mm-hmm. And with the longal dorsal spinous processes of the withers, we need an extension of the tree to be in touch. But those are crucial if it comes down to the width. So that's where you have the changeable gullet bars mm-hmm. as well. Like in a Wintec or a Fairfax saddle, you mm-hmm. can change that. But in wood, that's solid. Mm-hmm. And when you want to narrow the tree, you really want those 3 points to come closer to the horse or further away from the mm-hmm. horse.
So this,
whatever is needed.
With this, you change the angle of the gullet?
Yes, you change the angle and therefore the width.
Yeah.
And you can even make 3 points a bit shorter or longer, depending mm-hmm. on the gullet plate that's in the tree.
So it's a little kind of piece of, you maybe
yeah, we have detail, a synthetic mm-hmm. bit that you screw onto the tree mm-hmm. itself. That's only the basis. Mm-hmm. That you only install that once.
Okay.
Because it can stay forever. It's only needing 2 screws aside or mm-hmm. 3 screws aside to make it fix. Mm-hmm. And then we have little wedges mm-hmm. tapered, starting off with 5 millimeters. That's mm-hmm. 2.5 millimeters each side. That sounds mm-hmm. ridiculously little.
No, but together it's already 1 centimeter.
No, together it's 0.5 centimeter.
At 2.5, sorry.
Yeah, so it's 2.5 aside.
I'm sorry.
And we will go into this later, but that has been yeah. mind-blowing. But so we do it in steps of 5 millimeter that you can narrow yeah. the tree. So mm-hmm. 5, 10, 50, okay. up to 35. And you can do it in saddles in production or mm-hmm. In existing saddles.
Okay.
So mm-hmm. if you've already sold a saddle with a wooden tree and you need to narrow it down, then you can use TreeClicks to narrow it down.
Mm-hmm. And you can do this on site
yes.
during the appointment.
Yes, that was
basically.
Yes. The mm-hmm. only thing that you really need is to open up the saddle. And this
yes.
is what scares off some saddle fitters mm-hmm. because you need to be able to open up the saddle and to mm-hmm. close it again.
Mm-hmm.
But I've worked with so many saddle fitters now. This is so easily trainable and you can do mm-hmm. it in 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And even the testing in between, because I really want to test different settings with the horse, which mm-hmm. we will discuss later, hopefully mm-hmm. as well. I don't want to be off topic again.
No.
But that is mind blowing. And you mm-hmm. can fix the saddle just like very fast, keeping it closed for the test okay. ride.
And without needing a machine for it. Because
yes,
this is sometimes
there's no machine needed. It's
you
only your two hands.
Overseas. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think now everyone is in the picture what TreeClicks is about.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes, yeah. And it's so well designed by Fika. She was amazing in this entire process. And as I said, we started off as a 3D print
mm-hmm.
because it was not a final one. Because yeah. if you want to produce it final, it's major costs involved.
Yeah,
so
I imagine.
Mm-hmm. You just can't do that for every time you want to change something. So I started using it myself as it was intended in the field for the first 2 years under the radar, just seeing what does it, does it fit every tree, mm-hmm. where are the flaws, how are the horses reacting to it. I was really following up shortly. So every 8 weeks I was seeing those horses
yeah.
to palpate, to
nice.
Check, to...
because you had a feeling that, well, when I'm just imagine I screw at the inside of the gullet, I screw a little piece of synthetic
material.
My first impression would be, do I increase maybe the pressure at the trigger points?
So well, the good thing is that I had been working for 5 years already with felt and leather on trigger points.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So this made it less scary because I knew that doing that, the horses only improved and improved and improved. And it was already a known procedure for narrowing down trees.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is that though most riders, and including me when I was a rider and instructor, we believe that horses grow wider in terms of also relating to the saddle. Even though they grow bigger muscles, the change of posture makes them also narrow down. And that's way more often than broadening. And I must say that does depend on breed and what you do with the horse.
Yeah.
But I mainly work with dressage sport horses.
Yes.
And that's like a 90, maybe 95% that only narrows down because the posture changes from puberty into a ballerina. It's like they get more elegant, they come up.
Yeah. But it's so interesting that you say this because I have this often in my practical experience that, of course, I also measure the horses to compare the conformation of the horse from day one to for the next measurement or for the next control. And during the time of, for example, half a year in between, the horse develops very well, especially the young horses, for example, very well. They gain muscles and they really look like kind of a different horses. And the customers expect, of course, now the angle must be much wider because I've done so much training and my horse looks so good. But then the angle is narrower. And
thank you for sharing this because you know that I've been thinking that I was going mad for years. And I thought that I was doing a terrible job because I must explain this. I did not really think I was doing a terrible job because the horses went great, improved, scored, they aced tests, they were really developing well. Riders were happy, but the template didn't match that feeling.
Yeah.
The template didn't widen. And I was taught it should widen in order to do a good job. But it's not. It's the contrary.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And this is something I really 100% agree. It's not always the case.
Nothing is 100%.
But sometimes, and in a quite large percentage of cases, but then this is something I always explain to customers or the horse owners, that this is actually a good sign. So if you need to narrow down the tree or the gullet, then you've done everything right.
I think the truth is somewhere in between. I think we should stop concluding only on based on a template, whether it's a good sign or a bad sign.
Mm-hmm.
If the horse is doing great, he's developed, he grows muscles, you have I don't know how you call it, but I call it breaking points in the upper line. So like...
Like
mountains. Like you want to see a more equally evolving and nice, and it behaves well and it does well and it gains strength. Then a narrower template is not a bad sign.
Yeah.
But it's really something that people are pinpointing to. But what we really need to understand is where we measured the horse exactly for tree width is such a small area, 5 centimeters behind the scapula, that's one of little areas on the horse where it's different because there the withers come up.
Mm-hmm.
They lift the withers, they lift the how do you say it?
Sternum.
The sternum. So, out of words. And that has a massive influence on our template. So it's not like, he hasn't gained muscles. No, it has changed posture and gained muscles.
Yeah.
But the posture wins here. So we need to narrow down. And the funny thing is, when you then narrow the tree down width-wise, they get more freedom.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also sometimes more prominent in the head of customers and saddle fitters that if we narrow a tree down, we make them lack clearance, but the clearance increases. So it's that's also what is really, really standing out to me, that saddle fitting is sometimes thinking 100% the other way around. It's so different than what I was taught.
Yeah, because it's so counterintuitive, I think, especially most of people, including myself in the past, was thinking the wider the better, right?
Yes.
So we have more space. Yes. So like a shoe, which is bigger, so my kid has more space, more room in the shoe. But if it's too wide,
it will grow into it.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
That's perfect. No, but of course, especially with a kid's shoe, it's maybe a good illustration, because of course the kid has problems to walk, right? If the shoe is too big. And of course it will grow in, but at the time it grows into, maybe the shoe is already kind of off. But
and also with a shoe, we are not looking for clearance in some areas, maybe the toes.
Yeah,
the toes should not touch the front.
Yeah. Plus, the saddle isn't a system which is completely closed like a shoe, right?
No.
It's not the best example, maybe, but
everybody uses the shoe as an example, so I'm really happy that you do. But this is why I want to emphasize the differences between a shoe and a saddle. And this is why it's so important that we understand the different aspects of a saddle, and that we really have a rigid part, so that's the hard piece in the saddle. And I think the hard piece can make a huge difference. So leaving the hard piece out is not the solution. It creates other problems. If we make sure that we set this rigid part of the saddle to the correct settings, whether it's shape-wise, length-wise, width-wise, angle-wise, then it is a blessing.
Yeah.
But if we don't, it's a huge restriction to the horse, definitely.
Absolutely. Plus, we talked a little bit about measuring and templating the horse. Of course, usually we do this in standing phase, so in a static phase, so which is obviously completely different to a moving horse, to the dynamic phase. I mean, there are already some approaches to at least get into that scientifically and start to...
Now I'm interested.
Yeah, well, I've just spoken to one scientist. He did a mutual work with a tree company, so a company generating trees, and they had a very sophisticated approach to dynamically capture the horse in movement, especially the back in movement, and on this basement they built the tree. And this is something I'm completely eager, and I already invited him to a podcast, so
I'm also very interested, especially because it's so, again, even though I think you can do a research with 100 horses from standstill into movement, they will differ individually.
Absolutely.
Hugely. And this is why, for me, with TriClix, what it has really taught me, because we have only steps of 5 millimeter adjustments, and I've taught myself a way of opening and closing saddles that is very fast. And besides that, I'm talking to manufacturers for them to make saddles that enable saddle fitters to access the tree. Because apart from... Of course, my thought about using TriClix, but I think apart from that, it's our responsibility to check the inside of a saddle every time we check a saddle, because we don't know what's happening inside.
Yeah.
So we should be able to drop the panels, to check the tree. How is it still solid? Is nothing sticking out? Is nothing hurting the horse? Because that is really, really... the most important thing that we should be able to tell the customer if we leave. Your saddle is good to go.
Right, it's not broken. Or
Exactly. But coming back to this topic of static to dynamic saddle fitting, the thing we do in a standstill is to make the best calculation we can, possibly can, with the standstill. And then we go see what it does when being ridden.
Yeah.
So when the panels are there, when the rider is on top, when the horse has the bridle in and the bit and he has to do what is asked from him, how does this work? And when I was a saddle fitting before I had Treeclicks, I was looking, is this horse pain-free at this point? Okay, it looks pain-free, I'm good to go. The horse is okay, the rider is happy, I'm good to go. What I do nowadays is that I have a calculation on, okay, I would like this setting to be the starting point. Mm-hmm. I make the combination ride. I do the same examination as I did used to do. Does it look good? But then I go one step further. And for me, that's always narrowing down. I understand that sometimes that has a feel to some self. It's like narrowing down, but really, trust me. Yes, I do 5 millimeters more narrowing down and I observe again. Mm. And I ask for the feedback of the rider, of course, also for the horse, but it will give it anyway. And I observe, do I get more with a lift? Do I get a softer back? Do I get more hind leg protraction? Is he faster? How is the front leg? How is he on the bit? How is the balance? Oh, it improved. And then what? Then I want to go a step further. Why? Yeah. Because everybody's happy. Because I am not God. I'm not the all-knowing. And I want the answer from what I'm looking at. So I take it one step further. And then I look at them again. Oh my God, he's even better. How can that be? That is just the way he changes from being in standstill to moving. And then I take it another step further. And then you might think, how many times is this going to take? Well, it only takes me like 5 minutes each setting. And then the horse is worse. It's not better. It starts running. It opens its mouth. It drops his wither. And the rider is like, oh, this does not feel good. And you say, okay, I see it.
That was too much.
And then I can change it back.
Yeah.
That's the magic.
That is really good, yeah.
Because that has been also causing a lot of tummy aches. When I did something with Flock, I'm going to do something with Flock because I think he needs it. Done it, rides, not better, worse. Then what? Take the Flock out. Have you ever tried taking Flock out?
And have it exactly the same way as before. Yeah, good luck.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Because you can take the Flock out, but you will always disturb something. And I know because I'm a master in taking Flock out, because I've done it so many things and I've screwed it up so many times. So it has taken loads of hours. But it has also taught me so many things. But for me to go further and further, making improvements until I ruin it and then take one step back, that has also caused such a relief and confidence in my job, because I'm not the all-knowing and I'm not the only one deciding. Yeah. The horse and rider decide under my supervision.
Yeah.
And that way, I'm not to be shot later on. They will always discuss if, like, after it can still happen that after 2 weeks they ring me like, I've lost the magic. And then I already understand what has happened, because a lot of times when the horse has been ridden in a saddle that was set too wide for a longer time, it has also broadened, like, in movement. Mm-hmm. They're starting to move like this. Mm-hmm. And then when the saddle has been narrowed down, the horse will lift its withers, will narrow, but it will narrow even further because it can come up to this posture where he's more elegant and more powerful, and it will work. So then it might be just that you have to go back and narrow it down even further. And I know it sounds scary, but test it. Make the horse talk and make the rider feel, and oh man, there's so much to gain there.
Yeah, I can see that. So before I conclude that, I had just one thinking, which might be a good kind of, well, argument maybe for the customers to explain how also the static dynamics of the saddle change if you narrow it down. So what happens? The saddle gets a little bit up in front and a little bit down in the rear, right? So but what you're doing is to rebalance the rider in that in that situation, right? So I didn't mean to imbalance the saddle by that.
I am gonna interrupt now, and I know it might take a bit longer, but I have to tell you this.
Go for it.
Even statically, I've had numerous examples of this, but we've even had it as a group, and I'm still so happy with that. During a Treeclicks masterclass, we had a saddle that was really tipping backwards severely.
Yeah. Okay.
And it was a bit a bummer because it was not my customer. It was one of my colleagues arranged her and her lovely horse. And she had checked the saddle 6 months prior to this. So she said, I'm going to do a quick checkup before we're going to install Three Clicks and work with it. And she came back. She says, I don't think we can use it because the saddle is really tipping backwards. And of course, if we were to narrow down, we will make it tip backwards more. This is really what we think, and what I really thought was the truth. And I said, yeah, I think you're right, but I mean, he's the only combination we have left, so we're gonna template and we will see. So we made a template, and it was 2 centimeters too wide.
But then, so it was the flocking then, or what was
But then what? No, no, wait. Yes, you're you're true. I want to know the answer, girl. So, and I said, okay, what are we going to do? I presented it to the group and I said, okay, what do we want to do? And everybody said, we are not going to touch the tree with, we're going to do flock, a pad, la, la, la. And I said, yeah, but for crying out loud, we are going to do the tree width setting because this is what we are here to see. So we will just see... And then see what's left. And you will not believe it. But we put the bases on. We put the wedges on. Set it 2 centimeters more narrow. Put it on the horse on a standstill. And it was balanced. And this is yes.
How? Yes.
Exactly. If you do not believe me, I have a group of saddle fitters now. That
you have evidence.
Not only was there, but only do this now on the record. Before that masterclass... I never touched a saddle if it was tipping backwards that much. Then my conclusion was it's just the wrong saddle. Now, the masterclass was such a bliss because afterwards, I've always changed the tree width first before I really observed balance, panel contact, clearance, because it is of a huge effect and sometimes counteractive on what we think is going to happen. This is still... not landing in my brain. I still cannot 100% explain what's happening, but it does.
Interesting.
Yes. So this is why I had a little hiccup when you started, like, we're narrowing it down, then you lift the front. It's not true.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Brain breaker, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. But let me conclude this a little bit. So the procedure you are doing in your practical work and what you are teaching in the masterclass is that you first template the horse. This is kind of your origin or your template to go from. Then you adjust the tree by with tree clicks. So you narrow it down if needed. And you probably, I don't know, measure the angle and then measure the angle of the gullet as well.
We work in centimeters. So I know that some people really work with the angle, but for me, it's if the way we look at it, the tree points should be in touch with the horizontal parts of the horse, and the horizontal parts being the rib cage and the longissimus, mostly. Okay. And that has a certain width. So yes, the shape of the head of the tree should match the horse. The entire saddle should match the horse. But then with changing the tree width in centimeters, you do a calculation on your template and then you set it to the correct width on paper.
I understand.
Paper knowledge. And then you start testing live. So then you get practice.
Yeah, so testing. That would be the next step you explained before, that you're testing it. And in the end, the testing is the orientation or the final orientation. So even if the template says, I don't know, 1 centimeter narrower, if it's not matching with a dynamic evaluation, you will orientate yourself on the
Because result. Like we said, every horse is individual and they might just have a static pose. It is even so that if you template a horse in the morning or after it's been fed or after it's been turned out of after it's variation. So it will only tell you the truth when being ridden. So I think it's a huge lack if we only fit statically, because it's then we're only looking at the horse at that moment. But I want to see what the horse does when it starts moving, because it will change posture, it will change everything when the rider is on it. So the it's only my entrance, it's only really my starting point, and I always assume that I might need to go narrower than what I calculate anyway, because I know the way I template, and that's also a big topic. The way I template is not the way you template.
Yeah,
I would like to do already a template competition with you.
Yeah, but, and I mean, I had this discussion with so many saddle fitters already, but I think, again, there's no true and false, right?
No,
The thing is how we handle it in the complete procedure. So how, why are we templating? What are we doing with the templates?
Yes.
And are we doing it always the same in the same way, or is always a little bit different? Or
You cannot copy anybody else, because your template might differ 2 centimeters of mine.
Yeah.
And the only thing that is most important for me is that I get my starting point as close to the end result as possible, because I don't want to test 10 settings.
Yeah.
I want to test 1 or 2 or 3 settings.
Yes, understand. Yeah.
So
one question which is still in my mind before I have a lot of questions in my mind, but absolutely. Before we hop on, one last thing I wanted to discuss with you. I have one question I want to ask you. In your experience in the daily practice with 3Clicks, we already talked about the balance, which is sometimes even contraintuitively different to what we expect. But what about the rider? So I can imagine, but please correct me if I'm wrong. I have no practical experience with 3Clicks. If you narrow the gullet a little bit down, I can imagine that the balance of the rider will be shifted a little bit backwards. Sometimes it's better, especially if the tree was too wide or the gullet was too wide. Most of the hip is kind of rotated forward. No?
Mm-hmm.
So I can imagine this will huge the direction of the hip orientation significantly if you use 3Clicks. Mm-hmm. And by that, shifting the weight of the rider a little bit more, maybe centered at least, leaving the withers free. Plus, you also increase the room for the wither, because you get the saddle a little bit higher and the wither has more room to
The clearance.
Yeah, elevate.
And, yeah, so this is exactly, I love what you're saying here. In our 3Clicks specialist program, we call this the 4 keys of saddle fitting. The 4 key points of saddle fitting, I should say. And those are tree width, clearance, panel contact, and balance. With tree width as the primary one, because we cannot conclude anything if we do not set the tree width to the correct starting point. So not the end point yet, but the starting point. So for us, to my templates, it's -2. We can explain about that. We have YouTube videos, etc. You can find what I mean by that. But we set it 2 centimeters narrower than the template of the horse. And for me, that's a crucial starting point. And then if I have the tree set to the correct starting point, I put it on the horse, because then it will show the clearance. So how much room does the withers have and for them to come up? And what you're talking about, the balance, what does the balance say? And for them to be separate key points also means that I'm not going to conclude my tree width based on the balance. I'm not going to change tree width because the balance is off. If I have the tree width correctly, which I should before I conclude about the balance, then I should address the balance and not the tree width.
Yeah.
So this means that yes, sometimes I might want more, if I am assessing a combination while being ridden and I see that the wither lift is lacking, then I might want to narrow down, because the horse can only lift its withers if it is supported well enough by the tree points on the horizontal parts. But if then the balance is a bit too far towards the back, I will see, do I need a bit more clearance in front to make it drop nicer around the withers? So not the tree width, but the clearance. Or do I need to do a little bit of felt between the tree and the panels at the back to correct the balance?
I see.
Or is the flock insufficient? But I'm not going to overflock, because I want... I want the function of the flock kept the way it is. I do not want to harden the flock because then the horse will harden its muscles. I do not want to widen the tree because of the balance too far back, because then it will drop its withers. And yes, then the balance will be okay, but the horse's biomechanics will be compromised. So it is really, this is really why we wrote the protocol, the four key points of saddle fitting, and I'm always sticking to it. I will never, ever widen or narrow a tree just for balance sake.
I understand.
And it's also such a relief because you get compartmentalized saddle fitting. Yeah. And you know, I've really managed to get a grip on that bit. Now I need to address this bit. And maybe therefore I need to widen the panels apart or whatever. Yes.
And of course, this also gives the saddle fitter kind of a structured way to go through the protocol.
Exactly.
And check, 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 number one.
And I think that structure is what is lacking.
Yeah.
With almost any saddle fitter that I come across, because it is so much information we need to process, and there is so much options we can address. But if you have this structure, I can honestly say I've only started to really like my job in the last 5 years. Isn't that terrible?
No,
I always was intrigued.
At least.
intrigued, but not really with so much pleasure doing my job.
And I think this is the reason why, as you said, there are so many bits and pieces and sometimes hard to get them into one conclusion in this special individual case. Then there comes the feeling, you know, and the gut feeling. And because maybe there is no structured way to go through the appointment, I mean, I have a lot of customers calling me because they are former saddler just put the saddle on and says, yeah, no, that's all
this
fine.
This is it.
Just wiggle, waddle a little bit on
with
the saddle.
Horses, and, with horses, we should never neglect our gut feeling. But I do need a structure to come close enough.
Yes.
And then make my gut feeling talk.
Yeah.
So I should analyze the rider. I should analyze the horse. And I should definitely, because that is my my profession, I should definitely analyze the saddle on all the different aspects, but in a structured way. A vet doesn't look at a horse and just say, oh, this or that. He does test. Yeah. He has a way of checking.
But still, as you said, the feeling is important too. If the vet has the feeling, something is still wrong.
The end conclusion should be supported by your gut feeling. Absolutely. If I go away with a little aching tummy, I know I have not seen the end of it yet.
Yeah.
I know I'm going to get a phone call. With something is still off.
Okay.
And I knew it when I left. I will.
Yeah.
This is also what I tell the colleagues that I'm contacting with a lot of times. This is what we discuss. Never leave when it doesn't feel like it's 100% concluded. Or tell it to your customer.
Yes.
This is still my feeling. Mm-hmm. Please be aware. Contact me whenever, la-di-da.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think to be transparent about this feeling is so important for the customer, to building the trust, to say what you are feeling in the end. But after you did this, detailed analysis and explaining and everything. So, 100% agree. You cannot really separate knowledge, practical experience, and feeling. Feeling is needed to be included as well. But
if you go on 100% feeling, it's like looking in the universe, you're looking in space and trying to find the right star without any knowledge.
Absolutely.
You will not find it.
Absolutely.
So,
I 100% agree. I have one little last question, because I can imagine that this might be always an open question, thinking about your system or the TreeClick system, because it is made for narrowing down the gullet, right? So you're already smiling. Okay, I can imagine this question arise a lot of times already. So that means, thinking from the other way around, having a young horse, for example, or a horse which is still in development, would you, if you sell a saddle, or if you advise the customer for a saddle, buying a saddle, would you then rather suggest to buy a saddle with a little bit wider tree and already narrow it down to the perfect size, to have the option later on, not only narrowing it down, but also widen it again. So what would be...
Yeah, well, I did that in the beginning, but that has cost me. So mm-hmm. The only time that I've sold a saddle once with a 35 wedge on it already on it, but mm-hmm. that was on a horse. And later on, I was very grateful that I did, because this horse, but it was very poor. It had no muscle. It was tiny, skinny. She mm-hmm. became, whoo, so I was lucky with that.
Yeah.
But the other way around, horses grow with us later on. Eh? They come up later on. So younger horses have lower withers. So they maybe they do broaden, but also the withers come up. So the point where we measure again from the top down, we'll narrow down.
Yes.
So I am, if I sell a saddle, I rather sell them. I always put the bases on and rather use a maximum of 5 millimeter, maybe a 10 millimeter wedge. Mm-hmm. But that's only if they lack muscles already a bit, if you think, okay, it really needs to gain.
Understand.
But otherwise, I'm really in favor of just setting it to the correct width and then changing later with the tree clicks. Because on the other hand, if you were to face a horse that widens, you can widen a saddle tree up to 2 centimeters.
Mm-hmm.
Guilt-free, kind of. But if you,
but only once, right? Once or twice,
once.
Maybe.
But why can't we do that with narrowing down? Well, if you narrow down, the inside-out pressure from the horse in the saddle will make it widen within 2 to 3 to 4 weeks. If you don't believe me, please narrow a tree down on the press. Mm-hmm. But then
you mean a wooden tree? Or?
Yeah, wooden tree. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But if you then were to do that, you do need to plan a checkup after 4 weeks, because otherwise you will hurt the horse, because I can promise you the tree will widen.
Interesting.
Yeah, that is, well, interesting. It had been really painful to come across that, because I've done it so many times and I had to go back so many times, and I didn't understand why, because the manufacturer kept saying, no, it's no problem, but it was. And then afterwards the tree started tearing and breaking because I mean, we've pressed them in and then the horse has pressed them out again because that's also the material that's just not, it was not constructed like this, it was constructed like that, so it's easier to go back out there.
I understand. Interesting. Okay but then I understand what you say. So rather having the right size from the beginning, unless the horse is a little bit weak in muscle volume, for example, and you expect that it will grow anyway because of the nutritional
and
status
then,
or whatever.
Then it might be wiser to have a bit wider, but normally I would say no, go for its regular.
That's a good tip. Excellent. Yolanda, I could talk to you another hour and 2 hours
too.
And longer, and we are already over our time, actually.
I know.
So it was such a great pleasure to talk to you again. And you already mentioned a little bit about some material you have on YouTube. Of course, you have your masterclass.
The masterclass is really live. So that's mostly in the Netherlands or in Belgium. If there's enough requests, we could also do Germany, because that's not that far away. But that's really live with horses and riders. Very interesting, but I think more accessible is YouTube videos. And we have on our website the Tree Click Specialist Program. That's an 8-week online course, only for experienced saddle fitters or saddle fitters that work in the field already, because you have to do assignments also with horses and saddles, opening up, closing, testing. And we get together every 2 weeks online, small groups, maximum of 10. And we talk about what have you been doing, experienced, come across. And it's open for everybody in a sense of we do not want to tell you the way it is.
Yeah,
we want to make people aware of what we are facing and also each other's experiences. So I wrote something about air panels, and somebody in in one of the course, one of the attendees said, well, I don't 100% agree because I feel it's this and this. Then we also put that in the course or in the program because it should be from saddle fitters for saddle fitters. So
excellent.
That's the that's a specialist program we were talking about.
Yeah. So it also including kind of a community and exchangeable community.
Yeah, for, and it's ongoing because we have a get together later on where we ask the specialists that have concluded the program to come together again. We do that free of charge, a 4-hour talking about all the input we've got from all the fitters. So we gain experiences and pictures, media, everything, and we want to share it back later again. So we want to keep it an ongoing inspirational platform, actually.
That sounds interesting, to have the online format as practical as possible.
Yes. Kind of. Oh, that's that's a world.
You can have it.
Thank you.
Yeah, and you started a podcast as well, right?
Oh, yes, yes. We did. We did the first recordings now, so you're going to be one of my victims to get we will not be able to start talking. But yes, that will start somewhere in 2026 as well. Yeah,
great. This is so cool. Yeah, I will, of course, pop everything down to the show notes. So all the ways how to get in contact with you, how to get more information and material. And I'm sure there are a lot of listeners who are very eager, not only about the system, but also about all the knowledge you you're sharing.
Yeah, they're more than welcome to visit.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah. Yolanda, I'm so happy that we had the chance to meet and to talk about this. Well, I think very important topic of saddle fitting.
Yes, major.
Yeah, I'm sure this was not the last time we're talking.
Hopefully not.
Yeah.
Hopefully
so
not.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Yeah, and let's hear again another time. I'm very looking forward to that.
Me too, thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much. And for all listeners out there, again, if you want to get in contact with Yolanda, you find all the information in the show notes. And I'm very happy for having you the next time when we are having another episode of Saddle Pro. Goodbye.